Hamlin wins at Michigan while William Byron comes up a little short on fuel. Finally time for NASCAR to head south of the border. Plus, we'll visit with Xfinity driver Ryan Ellis and from Echo Park Speedway, Brandon Hutchison on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to this edition of Fast Talk. Doug Rice joined by Alexis Erickson. Brad Gilley is on vacay, so he will not be joining us this week. So filling in for Brad Gilley, we have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch.
I don't know if I'm filling in. I was just stopping by to say hi. No, sounds like work.
Yeah. Now it just became a job.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So how are you getting comfortable with being introduced as NASCAR Hall of Famer?
It's still new and it's still very special. And yes, I'm finding like the stories that I'm telling and the comfort that I have from where I started, where things are today. It's like my story is like that blue collar kid that just never gave up. And that's really like, there's all these different characters and people that are in the Hall of Fame. And to be one of those, it's very special, but it's been a ride and it's been fun. Like even just this morning, though, texting my brother and setting up a legend car ride for my little nephew out in California when they go. So still working, still having fun.
Hall of Famers working. That's right. Yeah. We got you working here today. What has it been like? I mean, what was that day like for you, first of all? And then what has it been like since then? As Doug said, now everywhere you go, you're Kurt Busch Hall of Famer.
It's, that night I had friends and family. We all went downtown Charlotte and win, lose, or draw, we were still going to have a nice night. And, you know, to have my buddy Biffle right there next to me, there was those nerves of, are you in? Am I in? With Harry Gant, Randy Dorton, Rick Hendrick, Mr. Modified. I mean, that was a very deserving choice there. It's just you had those butterflies. It felt like race day with the energy and the nerves and the unknown.
Well, it's funny because before we went on the show, you said that they told you to come, that there was no guarantees it might be a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
I love how they, you know, kind of sell it to you. You know, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, with Kamish, with Phelps there,
right.
It literally was an envelope like you'd have at the Oscars. And he didn't know whose name he was going to even read.
Did they give you the envelope afterwards?
Yes. Yeah, a friend of mine grabbed it. Yeah.
See, you have that framed already?
Yeah. We went to dinner, and it was a nice surprise at a steakhouse. They had it on the menu. Congratulations, Hall of Famer Kurt Busch at the top.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
So somebody must have called ahead.
Word travels fast, I guess.
somebody tipped them off about that. It's a pinnacle moment, though, in the sport. Anytime you participate and contribute and you win championships like you did, and then you get named to the Hall of Fame, I don't know that there's a lot past that.
I mean, Jim France came over to me. This was a couple of years ago after my accident, and we were at Darlington, and they announced the greatest 75 drivers of all time. And he said that he felt like that class is even more important than the Hall of Fame class. But I think that everyone parallels, even just like being in the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame when I was a kid, like, I never expected to even get that far, but it is really an honor, and it comes with a right of representing the sport and doing a duty past just being a Hall of Famer or a champion or a race winner. If I'm recognized somewhere and a fan comes up for an autograph or whatever it may be, a photo, you have a duty to represent the sport in NASCAR because that's that time for that person or that family to have met an athlete or a star, but it's also because I'm a NASCAR driver. And that's the best honor that I get to give back right now.
Such an amazing honor. And, you know, I take exception a little bit with what you said, Doug, about there not being much more past that. Maybe for the driver, Kurt Busch, but as we see you sitting here with 2311 on your chest, you're still very active in the motorsports community, maybe behind the scenes a little bit. Talk about, like, what your role is with them and how you're getting fulfillment in, you know, in this new era of your journey.
Yeah, this is a great spot for me to be in. I'm just behind the scenes enough to stay involved, but it's not day to day. When I was going to the track after my accident and really trying to go through rehab and get better and get back to the car, you're in every meeting, you're watching every practice session, and the detail that I was involved with was at that top level. As soon as you miss a week or you're not focused in 100% on that practice session or that driver debrief, you feel like you're not at that A-plus level, or I did anyway. And so I just learned to step back a little bit. You know, with Booty Barker coming off the box with Bubba Wallace and a new crew chief coming in, Booty was that eyes and ears and the extra person at track that would add the extra, what I call spice on top of things. So I'm just kind of step back a little bit. I'll be at Mexico City this next week. I mean, I'm terribly excited as a fan for the cultural experience. And I'm actually going tomorrow. I'm going early and helping NASCAR with a media day down in Mexico City and taking in the race.
Speaking of 2311, you have their logo wear on right now. The co-owner, Denny Hamlin, had himself a day at Michigan yesterday. By the way, he's also a future Hall of Famer.
Oh, man, he keeps slaying it. I mean, this crew chief change for him this year has, it's like he grabbed fifth gear. And the way that Denny Hamlin goes through all of the details and all of the data and all, like when I raced for him in 2311, I had just come over from Stewart or Ganassi, and the data that we had to fill out and all of the different forms, like he just loves information. And that's the type of driver he is. And that's what this car has to be driven like, as well as how you put your strategy together for your race.
You know, there's been a lot of talk recently with how much success he has had about his age and where he is, or where people feel like he is in his career. You know, a lot of people saying, well, he's on the back end of his career. Or he's, you know, he just had 700 starts and he's now won past 700 starts, which I think only maybe a handful of other people have done.
My name was on that list yesterday. My girlfriend, she's like, hey, Kurt, you're on TV. She rewound it. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of a cool list.
Well, it is a very cool list. It is a small fraternity of people on that list. But talk about, because you can specifically talk about how difficult that really is to continue that momentum, to continue being that engaged and that strong, you know, in that part of your career.
I mean, he deserves way more credit than he's being given right now. There is the criticism with how he has his swagger, I beat your favorite driver, which I think is hilarious.
I love it.
And yet here he is as a team owner.
Yeah.
We developed this team, you know, just 4 or 5 years ago. And here we are competing top five every week. And here he is on his team with JGR at this top elite level. This is next level stuff that he's pouring on the field right now.
I mean, he's won 3 races this year. We were talking, Alexis and I were talking about this before we came on the air, Kurt. Some of the villain thing, and you talk about this as little or as much as you want. I love whatever it is he's doing. It's kind of almost with a wink. I'm going to say this, but I'm kind of winking at you like I'm the bad guy, but I'm really not a bad guy.
Yeah, it's funny. Like it's almost like the David Pearson era of being the Silver Fox, just showing up right at the end and going, ha ha, I planned this all along. This was a part of our plan, where you see guys like William Byron or Larson dominating all day, and then here comes Denny.
Here comes Denny.
You're not going to outsmart him right now.
So Denny's delivering for
it
sure.
It is neat to watch. And just the way that he jumps into the 2311 meetings and turns his owner hat on, and then how he's having his third child and putting the dad hat on. I mean, he's wearing all the hats, and he's doing really well. I'm proud of him.
Well, we were talking about the fact that he's got to be the busiest guy in America. He's got 2 kids already. He's got 2 girls. Got a little boy on the way. Okay, that's big right there. He drives a race car for Joe Gibbs, maybe one of the most recognizable car owners in the world. He's embroiled in a lawsuit. He does a weekly hour-long podcast. I think he plays golf like it's a religion.
And pickleball. If he would drop a pickleball tournament right now, he would be the first one to sign up.
I mean, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
add that to the list.
Big pickleballer, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right, with the podcast and that. And I, you know, I don't pay attention too much to the lawsuit, but it is one of those things that you wake up thinking about when you have those things lingering for as many people and as many impacts as that lawsuit will make. So hopefully it all turns out.
I need to give the Toyota performance report here before we go to break. We'll chat with Ryan Ellis. Kurt's going to hang around with us, and we're going to talk to Ryan about a really nice run that he had here, and he's got some new sponsorship ideas he wants to talk about. Denny Hamlin, of course, won at Michigan in a Toyota. Ty Gibbs finally had a good day to talk about, came home in 3rd. Bubba Wallace had another nice run. He is in 4th. He's kind of putting together a quietly pretty good year. Eric Jones was 11th. 13th was to Tyler Reddick. Christopher Bell was back in 16th, 23rd, Chase Briscoe, Riley Herbst was 25th, and 34th was John Hunter Nemechek. It wasn't that long ago, Kurt, that the list of Toyota cars was three.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Now, how many teams do we have? And that's what it takes, is you got to continue to build. And at the end of the day, you want as many championship efforts in the playoffs. And that's where, with Legacy developing, they'll get to that point as well.
I just rattled off nine names now, so that's a lot more chances in the pot than what they had just a couple of years ago. That's our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit, I'm going to get it right this time, TGRNA.com.
This is a Camry. This is a Camry on NASCAR. This is a Camry on NASCAR with Ty Gibbs behind the wheel. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Riders, start your engine!
Echo Park Speedway is built for battles. High speeds, tight packs, dramatic finishes.
Crossover move, then three wide for the lead.
It's the same track you love, now under the lights, where every moment feels bigger. Experience the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, Saturday, June 28th, under the lights in Atlanta. Get your tickets now at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
NASCAR Memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
They established the Hall of Fame. First two people that get in, besides your dad, is Bill France Sr. and Bill Jr. Your time behind the wheel overlapped with Bill Jr., didn't
it? Yes, for sure. For sure. I was called to the truck many times while Bill Jr. was in there. But you know what? What I remember about Bill Jr. as much as anything was being a kid and him sitting and talking to my dad or talking to my granddad. And Bill Sr. would be in some of those conversations, but you'd sit down at the racetrack and they would talk about where the sport was and where the sport was going. Bill was never satisfied with where the sport was. And that is the one thing that I came to admire about him. At the time, I didn't. At the time, I didn't appreciate it as much. But, you know, I'll never forget, we were doing some stuff and I was driving for Felix and I was called to the truck and I was reminded gently by Bill France Jr. that this was his sport. And if I would like to participate in his sport, that I needed to kind of change my ways. And I changed my ways so that I could participate in his sport.
Fast Talk, Doug Rice, Alexis Erickson, Kurt Busch, NASCAR Hall of Famer. Just have to throw that in. We're pleased to have our next guest with us. He is from the NASCAR Xfinity Series, Ryan Ellis. He's got a brand new sponsorship. He's coming off just a couple of weeks ago his best ever finish in an Xfinity car as he finished eighth here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Ryan, thanks a lot for making time to join with us today. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
You know, Ryan, I want to talk to you quickly about the journey that you have taken in your racing career. I did a little bit of research before the show just to make sure that I had everything, you know, correct. And you've been in the Xfinity Series in some form or fashion since, I believe, 2012.
But, sounds about right.
But last year was your first full-time season. So talk about that journey of how you were able to start with one or two starts here and there and make it, you know, over that long period of time to where you're, you know, now a full-time driver with, you know, amazing partnerships and things like that to fuel you.
I couldn't have written the script to make it work out as well as it did. I started as a start and park guy, just happened to be at the right place at the right time. I was racing Grand Am at the time and having a lot of success there. And a guy by the name of Jimmy Means needed somebody just to run a few laps at Road America. And I just happened to be there. Always wanted to race at NASCAR, just didn't have the money to really make it work. Kind of did all I could to stay in the sport for probably that 5, 6, 7 years. Lost my biggest sponsor just due to a leadership change and at the company, and then went to just get normal jobs because I just got married and we're like about to start a family, and I couldn't make a living off of whatever amount of races I was doing at the time. Got lucky and got a lead generation marketing job, which I went to school for, and that taught me everything I needed to know about how to search my own sponsorship out and build a sales pipeline, and got lucky with some interns that have helped me so much to get to where I'm at now. And now it's just a whirlwind. I'm just doing all I can to stay in the sport at this point.
Kurt, there's a lesson in there, isn't there, about never giving up and having perseverance like we're hearing Ryan talk about?
Oh, I love it. I mean, you're never going to have like the perfect step ladder or the right alleyway to go down. It's never going to be perfect. And I like your persistence to keep pushing. And, you know, tell us like what has been like one of those key moments that you've learned on track? You know, I know the battle off track is tough, but what's been one of those fun things on track that you've learned and have to get better at?
I think we saw it at least with like the Landon Castles and Timmy Hill types, when they're given a chance to kind of take the leash off and take the reins off, I mean, and just race. It's been really hard this year. It's been easy and hard at the same time because I've always only driven for small teams, and Mario Gosselin at DGM Racing has always been like, hey, we're here to race. If we wreck, we wreck. Unfortunately, we just left Nashville where we got into an accident, but they've been so hard on me in a good way of just not worrying about it. And my whole life, whether it was Legends cars or late models or really anything, I wasn't ever in the position to just put the car at risk. So it's been a big change, and I've just tried to shut my brain off in the race car and just pass cars. And after Charlotte and getting our first top 10, it's been so nice to just turn my brain off and just race.
I think it's cool that you're racing for DGM Racing, Mario Gosselin. I was covering Mario Gosselin, by the way, when he was winning races in the Hooters Cup Series. So if you want to make him feel old, just remind him about
I
that.
Will.
Please do drop that on him. But this is a proven path, though. If I'm not wrong, a guy named Ross Chastain spent some time at DGM.
Yep, and Ross co-owns my management group, so at Motorsports Management International, and that's part of the reason I went there. But it's just been I mean, he was the biggest reason I went to DGM, actually. I mean, he told me it'd be pretty stupid to not go there.
You know, you mentioned your fantastic run at Charlotte being the first top 10 that you have gotten in the Xfinity series, and we've already documented, your long journey in that series. What was the reception to that top 10 like for you? I mean, I saw so much press around you and that like just meaningful moment. It had to be a bit of a whirlwind.
Even through last week, I've never had as much media as I did over the last couple of weeks. So at first it was really cool. And then heading into Nashville, I think I said in a few interviews, I'm like, I love it. It's cool. And it's, what I've been working for my whole life, but I don't want to be a feel good story. I just want to be a story. I want to be in the sport and known for being a good driver. And I don't have the stats to back that up right now. So I was so appreciative of all the attention we got, especially for our sponsors, including Tableau's done so much with the broadcast and everything. I'm like, I just want to get another top 10 so that it's not one top 10 and 100 and something starts, because that's not a sexy number by any means. I just want to stop being a feel good story and just be a competitive race car driver.
What's the old proverb? Journey of a million miles starts with one step. So you've done that. You've crossed that threshold. You were in our studios here at PRN not that long ago. Here's a quick success story for you, Ryan. You were in here cutting commercials for your sponsor, Tableau. Our producer, the guy that's putting this show together today, Kent Bernhardt, without even hearing the commercials, went out and bought one. So you are directly
That's awesome.
responsible already for having sold a Tableau unit.
That's so cool. Yeah, I mean, it's been a really great partnership. I'm so lucky to have gotten that as well. I keep using that word, and that's not just throwing that word around. I mean, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time or sent the right email, and the people at Tableau have been absolutely phenomenal for my career and started with one race last year. It's been a ton this year and hopefully even more next year.
I was going to say, I think I just saw a press release that came out, what, maybe a couple of days ago that said they're even extending further than what they had been previously. So that's obviously a success as well, that your partnership is going to continue.
Yeah, they're adding races so quickly. I don't know what is and wasn't, what is not announced. I actually thought those were already out there, and I don't know if they ever were. But I mean, they've got onboard cameras and the closed captioning advertising, and then obviously everything with PRN. So it's been really, really cool. I've never had an in-car camera, so I put a lot of sim work in for this week just because I don't want to be lost in Mexico City trying to learn the track while everybody's live broadcasting it.
Well, obviously, we want to ask you about Mexico City because that's a huge race coming up on the schedule. But I do want to give you the opportunity for anybody that's listening, because we're talking about Tableau and your partnership with them, and people might not know exactly what that is. If you could give them like 20-second condensed version of what Tableau is and what they can offer, you know, please do.
Yeah. So Tableau is a device that allows you to get pretty much any of your local sports, anything like NBC, Fox, ABC, obviously the CW. Without the use of actually having a like physical antenna up over your house. So it just plugs into your Wi-Fi, really easy to set up, and there's no subscription fee, and it's got the DVR components. So you're able to watch it, record it, pause it. It's awesome for people like me that, you know, I might just have a Disney Plus subscription or Netflix, and then you have a tablet device, and it's what, $90, I think, and you can watch TV forever. So perfect for people like me.
Yeah, that works. I mean, especially with all the travel that we're doing, that's a good device to have. And it's good product that it's organically pushed by you because you enjoy it and you get out to go out there and have it on your shirt and on your suit. It's fun when it works that way. I've been blessed with Monster Energy like that.
Yeah, I drink a lot of that too.
Good job.
Well, I was going to say, I thought it was funny that the first subscription that you mentioned was Disney Plus. You clearly have children. So
yeah, I've watched a lot of Frozen.
It's been awesome
because people are so, you know, they're struggling to find our races, but ours is perfect because it's on the CW, available on Tableau.
All right, let's get around to Mexico City. Your thoughts about heading south of the border to Autodrome Hermanos Rodriguez?
I have none. I'm just excited. I like anytime there's just random variables like that. I finally get to hop on the sim Wednesday at Chevy, so that's going to be really, really cool. I've only been in that building a few times, so just found some back route ways to find the track on my personal sim here at the house, and hopefully it's relatively close. But we have a long practice there, and it looks like there's a chance of rain, so that would be really, really cool. I just like a little bit of chaos, and as a small team, you know, we're a little bit down on power, a little bit down on everything. So it might help, but also we're racing at elevation. So I know we're going to be down 150 horsepower, 200 horsepower, and I'm not sure if that's good or bad for us, being a little bit down on horsepower across the board. So I'm just excited to get there. I don't really know anything. I barely know how we're getting there or where we're staying. That's what I was just texting my buddy DiBenedetto about. I'm like, I really don't know what's going on, but hopefully we end up in Mexico on Thursday or Friday.
Well, with your Trans Am past experience, you know, I'm looking at you like, yeah, you've got an upper hand because of the road course experience, as well as it's a new track for everyone. I always enjoyed those inaugural events where you got the level playing field, and if you got a little something in your back pocket, which you do with road course experience, use it to your advantage and keep the nose clean. And yeah, watch the weather. The weather is huge down there with this being the rainy season, as well as, like you said, the elevation. My first time when I raced at Pikes Peak years and years ago in the truck series, I'm like, guys, the engine's down on power. Like, you guys, we got to change the engine. And the main engine tuner's sitting there smiling and laughing at me. He goes, you've never been to altitude, have you? I'm like, no. The engines can't breathe. Yeah. So you gotta figure out how to race the vehicle differently. There you go. Without that power.
It's going to be, you know, both in the car and myself. I bought some altitude stuff. I've happened to race in Puebla, Mexico, in the Volkswagen Jetta TDI Cup Series a long time ago. So I know relatively how that could affect your body. And I just felt miserable the whole time I was there. Like, I was tired and just lethargic, couldn't breathe well. So I have already asked NASCAR, I'm like, do you have oxygen on site? Got all my inhaler asthma preps like right over my shoulder here. And hopefully that everything runs good, including me.
I think that's kind of important. Well, have a great adventure in Mexico. Congrats on your relationship with Tableau. We'd love to get you back on a little bit later on this year to kind of track the progress of what's going on there at DGM, okay?
Sure. That'd be awesome. I really appreciate you guys highlighting, you know, small teams like us and supporting our sponsor as well.
Glad to do it. The number 71 Tableau Chevrolet DGM Racing, Ryan Ellis. Keep an eye out for him this Saturday as they head down to Mexico.
Fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does.
All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
It's Fast Talk here on PRN, Performance Racing Network. Doug Rice, Alexis Erickson, NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch hanging out with us today. We're going to be talking with Brandon Hutchison here from the newly named Echo Park Speedway. Kurt, I'm sorry you never got the chance to win a trophy at Echo Park. That'd be a nice collection to add to your trophy.
There's three from Atlanta. There's three. I did get to race on the new banking, and that was incredible. Congratulations on that. I think that was a genius idea on Speedway Motorsports' behind the scenes planning. And it was cool. Like, after I was out of the car, I got to go to the track and hang out, do different things. I didn't realize there's a full on rappelling team. They're on the outside of the track, and if there's cars that are hung up that stayed up on the banking, there's a rappelling team that will jump into action and help serve safety to the drivers.
All right. Brandon Hutchison, I did not know about this rappelling team. If we're going off script here, forgive me, okay?
That's quite all right. You know, when you go to the higher banking, it is a requirement. So not only do we want to make sure that the fan experience is everything that it can be, we want to make sure that we keep these drivers safe if they need us. So we do. We bring in a high bank team that can really rappel down and do anything they need to do if a car gets stopped up high on the banking.
You know, the more you know, I see that, you know, because I did not know that either. Brandon, obviously, we want to start out with this huge announcement that you guys made a little bit over a week ago that Echo Park is now the entitlement sponsor of your Speedway. Talk about that partnership and what that means going forward.
Well, it's exciting for us. It's hard to believe now that we can actually talk about it. We've been working under the cloak of darkness for about the last 65 days. So it was very exciting for us to get to announce that Atlanta would now be Echo Park Speedway. And for us, it's just a continuation of an already strong partnership with Echo Park Automotive. And much like us, you know, they want every car happy owner. We want every seat happy fan. So it's a perfect relationship for us, and one that we hope continues for a long, long time. And we know that when the fans and competitors alike get here in just a few weeks, they're going to see a completely new Echo Park Speedway. The place looks great. It's been transformed.
I've got to applaud attention to detail. We can watch Brandon on our closed circuit feed here, and if you're on one of our social media sites, you can see it. The fact that you have tinted green lights lighting up your backdrop, that's all I really kind of need to know. That's attention to detail.
Well, it's what makes our team so special, right, Doug? I mean, you've worked with us for a long time. We try to make sure that we cross the T's and dot all the I's, and that's just one of the exciting things about becoming Echo Park Speedway. We can have a little bit of change here. It gives the team something to focus on. But I'll tell you, with all this attention to detail, it has been a little bit nerve-wracking knowing that we're as close as we are to the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. The place is going to look great. It's going to be packed. Heck, I don't ever get to talk to Hall of Famers. I wish Kirk could enter the race and race with us. He certainly had a lot of success here. But did you guys see the trophy at last week's announcement? We've got a custom Harley-Davidson from Sturgis Harley-Davidson. We're going to have a truck that's going to be able to tow the motorcycle as well as the trailer. So in addition to the peaches that we always give, the trophy that we always give, I think we've upped the ante a little bit in the trophy category.
Look, my spidey senses tell me that Kyle Petty had something to do with that motorcycle being a part of the trophy presentation, knowing his relationship with Echo Park and his love for motorcycles.
Absolutely. Kyle and I both were a little bit excited about the motorcycle. I can tell you that, Alexis. Christopher Bell was there, and I told him, I said, hey, man, if you don't ride or if you don't think you're going to want the bike, if you win this race, just let me know. I'll make you an offer.
Kurt, is that enough to entice you to?
Well, I'll tell you a story about a motorcycle. All my buddies, when I was a kid, they had dirt bikes, and they're all out in the desert. And I'm like, Dad, where's my dirt bike? Can I get a dirt bike? And he's like, son, here's a go-kart. You're going to live a longer life on four tires than you will on two tires. That's how the legend started with my go-kart.
It worked out okay.
So no bikes.
I was going to say, Alexis, it worked out pretty well for you, Kurt. What a wise decision from your father.
Oh, thank you. And what's cool, though, when racetracks have those special trophies that go along with the race event, like Martinsville has the grandfather clock. You know, Bristol has the sword that goes with it now. When I won Kentucky, there was a surprise jukebox that showed up at my shop. It's really neat when you get those extra bonuses that come along with the wins. It's usually just you want that one main trophy. The checks are pretty nice, but it's always special when you get that extra bonus in there.
Kurt, you've raced at this version of Echo Park Speedway. Describe how tough that track is.
Well, I can say that I won the last one on the old asphalt before it got changed to the restrictor plate style race that it is now. And right now it's a vibe of Bristol type of speed at the Daytona and Talladega style restrictor plate. So everything's happening in a mile less than what it does at Daytona. So things are just that much quicker at Atlanta when you're in the draft and you're holding it wide open, three wide. And it's really like a drinking through a funnel was the way that I felt like when I raced there for the new style track.
Well, it certainly puts on a great show. I know that much.
He just gave us a new analogy, drinking through a funnel. I love it. You know, it's edge of the seat excitement for the fans, surely white knuckle engagement for the drivers. It's got to be tough. There's no time to really relax. And it's interesting to hear Kurt describe it like that. I've described it a little bit like a super track. You know, we're an intermediate length. We race like Daytona and Talladega super speedway style, but because we're a mile shorter, we kind of have that short track ambiance. It gives the look of speed. And under the lights here in a couple weeks, it's going to be exciting. I tell you, we have the most exciting racing on the NASCAR circuit, I strongly believe. And our fans are speaking loud and clear. Ticket sales are going well, and Echo Park Speedway is going to be filled here in just a couple weeks.
Well, I can truthfully say, called a lot of races, a lot of tracks, and the first couple that we did on the newly reconfigured Echo Park, I left the booth and you were down there like, I was exhausted. I had never talked that hard and that fast in my entire career. And that's my gauge for excitement, Kurt.
You're on it. I mean, that's almost like when they do the four wide drag racing. You're just like, oh my gosh, I'm overstimulated on everything, but yet it's still a race and you still have to compete to win. And that's what makes your track so unique. And you're right. It was a lot. Like, I remember after the race, I was just like, what did we just do?
I think everybody felt that way for sure. Brandon, besides the green hue from Quaker State and Echo Park that is going to be seen throughout your facility, what else can fans expect when they come to Echo Park Speedway in just a couple weeks?
Well, great question, Alexis. And you know, Doug brought to light the attention to detail. We try to make sure we have something new, special, and different for our fans every time they come to Echo Park Speedway. So the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart is going to be an amazing weekend. As you guys know, we get kicked off early in the week on Wednesday. We've got the Speedway Children's Charities Laps for Charity. On Thursday, we've got the Thor Camper Appreciation Party. We've got the Pedal Power Party Bike Ride, where kids are going to get a chance to ride their bikes on the track on race weekend. So we've got the party in the Peach Pit. Tim Duggar's going to be highlighting that. Mechanical bulls, laser light shows, massive fireworks shows. The fan zone is going to be hopping, as it always is. We've got a kids zone in there. The Echo Park fan zone is fan stage is going to be active all week with driver Q&As. We've got the Sea Lions coming back. You didn't have that on your bingo card. Sea Lions in Hampton, Georgia. We've got the K9 Stars. There's just so much going on. We've got Legends and Bandolero Racing on the Quarter Mile Thunder Ring. So we try to make sure that fans who decide or choose to come to Echo Park Speedway get as much bang for their buck as they're going to get anywhere.
Brandon, is the Georgia Aquarium short a couple of sea lions? I'm just curious.
Ask me no questions. I'll tell you no lies.
All right. Man, we can't wait to see you guys racing at the newly rebranded Echo Park Speedway. Quickly tell folks how they can grab tickets.
Fans can go to Atlanta Motor or Echo Park Speedway. See, I'm still tripping up. It's been 30 years. You can go to Echo Park Speedway and find a price point that works well for you and your family or your group. Kids are absolutely free on Friday and Saturday. Only $10 on Sunday for the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. We hope a lot of your viewers will choose to come out and see us. It's going to be a big time at Echo Park Speedway.
All right, Brandon, have a great weekend. Can't wait for that. They head to Pocono, then down to Echo Park Speedway in Hampton, Georgia.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Welcome to the land of the free, where we pledge allegiance to the flag, salute racing's rich history, and raise a drink to the new gladiators who dare take on the last great Coliseum. The Bass Pro Shops Night Race NASCAR Playoff Weekend returns to Bristol Motor Speedway September 11th through the 13th. Get a weekend package and a camping spot and make it a weekend to remember. It's not just a night race, it's Bristol, baby.
I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Thanks a bunch to Ryan Ellis, driver of the 71 on the NASCAR Xfinity service, Brandon Hutchison, Echo Park Speedway. Got to work on that. I'm sure I will fumble that Atlanta Motor Speedway ball a couple of times before it's done. And for Kurt Busch for being here with us today. Kurt, one of the big stories this year has been all the attention focused around Carson Hocevar. He's jumped into a Spire car. He's running up front. He's leading laps. But he's ruffled feathers. And at age 22, What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. No, it's great. I like his tenacity. I like his driving. And again, yes, he's 22. You know, where was he 3 or 4 years ago? Berlin, running late models.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the laps, the quantity of laps, the time with other racers or the bumps and this and that. And he's doing it with that Spire equipment. Now, Spire's not an A-level team, but they're putting in a pretty good effort.
Right.
Their qualifying has really improved this year. And here he is driving the car above its limits and getting away with it sometimes, but then sometimes not. I mean, that's what you want to see out of a 22-year-old kid charging hard, trying to make a name for himself. I like what he's doing. Yeah, he's going to have those bumps in the road, and everyone has their opinion on if this was right or if that was wrong. I think he flat out just dumped Stenhouse at Nashville and was like, whoops, that was a little rough. But he's learning, and he's putting his time in up front, and that's what it takes. You know, when I was trying to break through, the veterans, they didn't like me. You know, the fans, I started beating their driver, right?
And you were Denny Hamlin before he was, was cool.
I think the quick story, though, is like when I got in the 2000s, I was beating the 90s fans' driver. And then my fans settled in with me with the championship and all through the 2010s. And I'll tell you a cool story right at the end. I was at an autograph session at a Walmart in Atlanta, promoting Monster at one of the last races that I raced. And this kid comes up. I've been a fan my whole life. I'm like, how old are these? He's like, I'm 8. I'm like, wow. I've been through 3 generations of fans.
Yeah.
And so Carson's just starting out and he's going to be just fine.
You know, speaking of that and fans and how you attract them, Doug and I talk a lot on the show about how we could use some more superstars in our sport. And I think Carson Hocevar has clearly the personality to be bigger and bolder than, you know, some other folks in the garage, but he needs those wins. Do you think that that's, you know, he's somebody that we could see be, you know, rivaling most popular drivers down the road if, because of his personality, if he was able to get in a situation where he was winning a lot?
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I mean, you never know how that spark can happen. And when you have so many different, what I see right now, is so many different options on how to win races. It's not like there's a defined top team and a top strategy. And for him, I think if he's able to break through and get a win with the team that he's on, he's going to be sought after.
Right.
There's going to be that A-level team that's going to give him a big-time chance, and that's when he'll go to the next level if it all works out of stardom.
Having watched you do autograph sessions and watched your entire career from start to Hall of Fame, Have you ever had fans reach out to you that had the Kurt Busch room?
As far as the fanatical?
Yeah, you know, everything. There's 12 stand-ups of you and 100 die-casts and things like that.
Yeah, there's the ones that go to what I call next-level fandom.
Yeah.
You know, not stalker type. One guy, he sent bottles of whiskey to the team and said that I ordered them, but then he wanted one autographed. I thought that was a little aggressive, but there's so many great fan stories, ones that have the total diecast collection. A lady out in Fontana years ago painted her truck all Kurt Busch Miller Lite, and she was always right there on the fence line. Kurt, can you come sign it again? I think I signed her truck like 15 times.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
get
the
those
tattoos
good stories
that get me. Yeah, the tattoos.
Those are aggressive. I've seen the monster tattoos, but I haven't seen Kurt Busch tattoos.
You've never signed somebody's arm so they could go get their...
There is, yes. There's a military guy. I believe he's in Kentucky. And I signed his arm and he got it tattooed. And I'm like, I better sign this one really legible. Make it look good.
You know what, though? There's something cool about that. That's devotion.
Oh,
if somebody's going to get their name inked on you after you sign, that says a lot.
It's great. That's what makes our sport so fantastic and the fanatical part of it. And then just the different regions around our country, like the New Englanders are way different than the Westerners. And then the Midwest people, they're a bit newer to the NASCAR world. Like when we started going to Texas and Kansas, Iowa was off the charts last summer, right? And so you get the different regions of our fans as well.
Do you see a difference in, you know, we've talked about it clearly, you've been in this game for quite a long time, from when you started out and what the fan reaction was to NASCAR and everything that's happening to what it is today. You talk about going to Mexico tomorrow to be part of a promotional thing for the race down there. Is there any difference in like how fans are reacting to the sport now versus back then?
I mean, everything evolves, and technology, of course, is what really is what's helped our sport grow. But it also oversaturates things in many ways, where people used to had to go to the track. They had to go. That's where you saw your driver. That's where you went there for the action. And now you can catch it on different streaming this or this race, this channel. But still the core vibe at the track is there, where it's families. You get the guy trip that's at Talladega. Pocono is going to be off the charts with Beast, our alcohol brand at Monster. They're activating for 3 days straight,
right,
with big bands coming in for that nighttime type party. So you still have the vibe, but still I think the technology side of it is what's changed a little.
And the vibe's back. I mean, sellout races.
Yeah.
Michigan was packed. Coca-Cola 600 here was sold out. Nashville was sold out. All-Star Race was sold out. I did want to get back to your cars because you drove some cool cars. I like the Sharpie paint scheme, by the way. For some reason or another, that car sticks in my head. Is there one or two over your entire career you go back and say, okay, that's sweet?
Yeah, the black and gold Sharpie has to be that one that I think I'm attached to for life. You know, I did drive the Blue Deuce and had that special time replacing Rusty Wallace when he retired. But then when Brad took over, it seemed like it was more of like he was the Miller Lite guy.
Yeah.
And I was Stuart Haas. We had, when Monster finally jumped on board and we had that flat black car.
That was a good looking car.
And the Ganassi car,
yeah,
right? The Ganassi was just crisp, clean, number one. You know, that one was really
sharp.
You had
a couple jump man cars too, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you? Yep.
Yeah,
that we won at Kansas.
Yeah, the first Kansas win with 2311. And then with Furniture Row, that was fun. Just being on that standard, just black and white Furniture Row team. And we almost won with Finch out in Sonoma. But I would say my favorite, though, was the black and gold Sharpie car and my years with Ganassi at the end. That I think that was special. That was where the Monster brand and the iconic vibe of us being together for 15 years, that was when it really made that staple to the kids that love their Monster.
We'll continue our conversation with NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch after we take a quick timeout.
Fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickinshire on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
JC's Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
We'll be right back. The owner of 34 Cup wins and a NASCAR championship, Kurt Busch, nice enough to hang out with us here today on Fast Talk. And we ambushed Kurt right immediately after he got voted in. He said, let me wait till I can come in person. And we really appreciate that. Kurt, one of the things that we talked about on this show, Brad Gilley's normally on here with us, and Brad made this point a couple of times. He said the reason he felt compelled to vote for you, and he did, by the way.
Thank you.
Apparently,
thank
a lot of other folks did too. that you, wherever you landed, especially later on in your career, it seems like you helped that organization to the next level. And he talked a little bit about going out west. He talked about racing for James Finch. Even at 23-11, you show up over there, you get them a W. Do you take a lot of pride in the ability to do that?
Yeah, where that journey kind of started was I was feeling like a burned out Cup driver. And long story short, I won at Sonoma with Penske Racing. It was in the Shell Pennzoil car. This is 2011. And it was weird. I mentioned some things wrong in victory lane. And then I was scolded by NASCAR because I'm promoting this Shell Saver card. Like, get this card and now you get free gas. Well, that wasn't the deal. It was you only get 22 cents off. Well, NASCAR calls and says, you can't do that in victory lane. Sunoco has the rights to victory lane. Am I really? Like, I won a race. I'm promoting my sponsor, but yeah. Then, so that's when I did the drag racing. I did Indy. I started trying to figure out, is this really where I want to go after 10, 12 years of NASCAR? Where do I want to go? And where I found my soul and where I found a rebuild was with Phoenix Racing. And then working with Barney Visser out in Colorado. That was definitely that. I know I've got this, and this is what I need to be doing. And Cole Pern, Todd Barrier, that whole gang at Furniture Row really got me settled back in my soul. And that's when we were fast that year. We should have won 3 or 4 races at Furniture Row. And then that's when the phone rang from Gene Haas and Tony Stewart was to help build a brand new team there. And that's I couldn't pass that up. Couldn't pass coming back to North Carolina and having everything like back to the normal sequence with travel and with the race team and with my friends and family here. And then, when those days started to end, it was because Monster was like, hey, Stuart Haas and the advertising, that got a little sideways. So that's when we went to Ganassi. And then with Ganassi, it was going great. And then Monster's kind of like, hey, we should go jump on this new team with this guy named Michael Jordan. And so that's where I was bouncing around. But it was a lot with partnership. And it was also a lot with my confidence on who I was as a racer, who I'd become, and to leave my fingerprints on a place like 2311, that's something I really wanted to do at the end. And that's where I feel like I'm a big part of that number 45, 23, and 35.
You know, we talk about how you went to all these different places and you left them in a better position. It sounds a lot like in what you were just saying that they left you in a better position too, as you went to these different organizations, that it helped you build your confidence and get to a place where you needed to be to continue on.
Yeah, it was mutual. It was definitely an effort with being more professional, having a bit more patience and doing things for a team. Whereas early in my career, maybe it was more about me. And I was just young and on the gas, kind of in that Carson Hocevar state or Ross Chastain type state. And it takes a couple of lumps, but at the end of the day, there's so many people that I influenced to be better and that others influenced me to be better and to continue to win. You know, if I could have pieced together that one win at Sonoma with James Finch's car, and if we could have had a couple things go our way with that Furniture Row car, I would have won for 22 seasons straight. That would have been a record, I think, above Richard Petty. But just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, but that's all right.
But the fact that you can even talk about that in the same sentence is pretty cool. Kurt Busch is with us, and we'll continue our discussion right after this.
Are you looking for the cheapest prices on car insurance? Then call the Cheap Car Insurance Hotline right now. Hey, you're guaranteed to save money on your car insurance. Most car insurances can be canceled at any time. That means if you find a better deal, you can switch right away. We're not just one company. We offer most of the major brands of car insurance. We're like a discount supermarket for car insurance. And it doesn't matter if you have a good record or a bad driving record. Our agents are experts at finding you the right car insurance for your needs. Our average customer saves hundreds of dollars a year when they call us to switch. So why don't you make this 100% free call right now and see how much you can save on your car insurance.
800-419-1971. 800-419-1971. 800-419-1971. That's 800-419-1971.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. If you want a show with no limits on opinions, join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
It proves that these guys are of the elite motorsports level. Being able to win the way that he did, I think, means even more that there weren't any fenders being put to anybody. And for those guys to show what they can do to race cleanly on a road course, they've certainly proved what they can do.
We're starting to see the top competitors become top road course racers.
Join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
It's not about the cars, the speed, the action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them, the ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. What a special episode this has been today. Doug Rice, Alexis Erickson, and we have been thrilled to have Hall of Famer Kurt Busch here with us today. We've talked a lot, leading up to Mexico City, but here we are. We're on the precipice of actually going and seeing these guys compete. Kurt, what do you do as a driver when you're being expected to compete at a track that you've never even stepped foot on? There's so much limited practice these days, and it's a different world as far as that's concerned. As a driver, how do you prepare for something like this?
Yeah, you try to find those little creature comforts that make you comfortable, whether it's the routine of putting the helmet on, seat belts, firing up the car. You try to find those simple things, but the prep going in, it's like when we went to the Chicago street race, first time ever on a street race. Simulation models aren't as close as what they are in real life. But like when we went to Road America years ago for the first time, I jump on a sim and you're just cranking out laps. You're mentally prepping how you're going to race the race. So simulator work, track walk, and just rolling with the flow. You're going to have to roll with like the security, getting in and out of the track. It's all going to be a little different. And that's kind of like when we went to the LA Coliseum. You know, it's like there's no garages. You know, we're going to be inside the infield for practice qualifying, come out through the tunnel to work on the car. So you just roll with it. And then you got to deal with Mother Nature. It looks like there's plenty of thunderstorms in the forecast, and who knows what will happen in the rain.
Do you speak any Spanish?
Un poquito, which is just very little.
A little very little.
I know that's kind
enough
of,
to get by.
Yeah. I mean, because folks normally from the Western states and your Nevada tend to speak more Spanish than folks that live here in the Southeast.
I can speak a little. I can read really well. You just kind of eliminate certain words or compare some others, but no, I can't really listen.
We can't tell you how much we appreciate you being by here today. And also a personal note, when I was active in this, was in your heyday, you were always accessible and stopped, talked, did interviews. I know sometimes that you didn't want to do. And from my personal vantage point, I will always appreciate that.
Well,
man,
thank you, Doug. I always respected you. And when you invited me on after the late Benny Parsons passed away, I was honored to come in as a champion and talk about our sport and do it on the radio and learn from a different side of the steering wheel.
NASCAR Hall of Famer hanging out with us today, Kurt Busch. Mexico City up next. Can't wait to be talking about that. Alexis Erickson, Doug Rice, Kurt Busch, Kent David. Back next week. Whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco,
From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.